Noon, everyone. I'd like to call the House Committee on Rules to order. It's February 20th, 2012. Colleagues, we are going to start off with House Bill 4170 and review the amendments. We will not be working on 4172 today. Is that correct, Mr. Co-Chair?
That's correct.
And then we will have a brief work session on SCR 202. With that, I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 4170. This is the dog training on farmland bill that we heard the other day. Colleagues, you have a dash one amendment. And Harrison, do you mind coming up? I'd like the LC to walk us through this. I want to make sure everyone understands this. It would be great if there's a comfort level to adopt the amendments today, so the next time we meet, we will have the paperwork we need to move the bill if that finds the approval of the committee. So you should also have in hard copy, if you don't have it in front of you, you should have a hard copy of 4170 through which to follow the dash ones. There were a variety of issues raised in testimony the other day. We're trying to incorporate as many of them as we can in the dash one. I know Representative Colby has been working on this particularly, as well as Representative Olson. So that would be all right, Harrison. Walk us through. Just introduce yourself for the record, and we'll go through the dash one.
Co-chair is Kotek and Olson. My name is Harrison Conley. I'm a senior deputy legislative counsel. And I will state for the record, I was actually out of the office, and Dexter drafted this amendment on my behalf, but I had a chance to consult with him a little bit, so I think I'm fairly well up to speed. I think the first significant piece to note is on line five, we are essentially eliminating reference in the current statute defining farm use. I think this reference now eliminates all reference to breeding of any sort of dog.
So on page two of the actual bill, this is the section around greyhounds.
It speaks specifically to greyhounds. And, of course, what we are left with in that statute is animal husbandry, and I won't speculate as to what animal husbandry means. We have specifically allowed, as a non-farm use, an outright permitted non-farm use, training classes. I believe you put in a limit of 6 training classes per day. That's new here. I think we already had the 10 dog per training class limitation.
Correct.
Another thing that we do here is because we have removed reference to breeding of greyhounds in the farm use definition, we have also eliminated that reference in the farm assessment statute.
Are you referring to line 15 of the dash one?
I'm talking about the reference to, on page 2,
section
where we
five.
Brought in section 5, that eliminates the reference to breeding of greyhounds in the farm use special assessment section. So since it's not farm use for land use, it's not farm use for tax, for special assessment tax purposes.
On page 4 of the amendment.
I might have to stop you there a second.
When?
On page 2, we bring in section 5, 308A, and as I heard someone say, the change in that section is actually on page 4.
Representative Freeman.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
Backing up one, that section where it talks about farm use for the current employment land, what are we trying to do on that? That's page 2, section 6. I'm not sure what we were doing there. You said something about it's not defined in land use, it's not defined in tax code. What were we trying to clean up there?
I'm sorry. I made reference to on page 1-5. What we're doing there is we are eliminating a reference in 215.203 to breeding of greyhounds. That is no longer specifically singled out as a farm use. And I commented that there is the term animal husbandry in farm use. Husbandry meaning breeding.
This is the section 5 language I'm sorry I was asking about, where it says is used in ORS 308A.050 to 308A. On the amendment, it's page 2.
co-chairs, Representative Freeman. 308A.056 defines farm use for purposes of special tax assessment for farm use. So I think since we have removed the Greyhound language from farm use in regard to land use planning, we have also eliminated the special assessment for breeding greyhounds.
Thank you.
And I think that those are, I think that probably does describe the bulk of the changes. It's my understanding is with respect to the dog training that the primary change that happened is that we limited to 6 classes a day.
That is true, as well as a change in the existing bill. It talks about a pre-existing, if you look on page 5 of the bill, pre-existing agricultural building as defined in ORS 455.315. I believe we're simplifying it to talk about pre-existing farm building, and that has to do with the, some of the limitations around pre-existing agricultural buildings as defined by ORS. So if you see that change there, that is intentional. In addition to the 6 days, the 6 trainings per day. That's correct.
You're right, and Representative Kotek. And as a matter of fact, I might mention something with respect to this piece of language and what I think I was requested to do with that language, which may not be as clear as it should be. I don't believe that this body intends to express any sort of limitation for the dog training to occur out of doors. I think the purpose of that statute was to limit us to pre-existing buildings. That is, that one cannot build a building in EFU specifically to do dog training. So I should comment and perhaps get your feedback on the record to the effect, to the notion that we did not intend by that, I think, to limit dog training classes from occurring out of doors. We just are saying that you cannot create a new structure for this purpose.
That is my understanding, Representative Olson.
That's where we were going.
Okay.
If given a chance to amend that, I might would say which can occur out of doors or in pre-existing farm buildings.
I'm hoping the dash one will do it, so if we don't have to make any changes.
And
I
this
think
notation
that would be
on the record.
Perfect.
I agree. Chair Kotek, I would like to, I mean, if we can get to this point with what the dash ones are, move forward with this.
Well, I really say that because I thought it was possible for county planners to misconstrue that language.
Right.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh my God. Would be my third grade teacher. I remember that sound.
So we have the clarification of the bolded sections from the original bill around number of trainings per day, pre-existing buildings. We see that repeated here. The Greyhound language is removed. Anything else we need to discuss?
Sure.
Just one reference that Harrison had made to animal husbandry, which already appears in 203. Just wanted to make it clear and that we put on the record that animal husbandry, generally speaking, includes raising dogs and breeding dogs as animal husbandry. It's because the language currently says any other agricultural or horticultural use or animal husbandry. And that piece has to be pretty clear that animal husbandry, most of us in our common sense would say, yeah, sure, it would include breeding and raising dogs. And that is one of the reasons we were comfortable taking out the reference to greyhounds in Section 203, because when you spell out that section about greyhounds, now all of a sudden, and in the tax piece, now all of a sudden you're saying, well, you've listed greyhounds, so that means any other type of dog should have been listed too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was an important...
That's a problem.
Yeah, that becomes a problem. And it also, and I wasn't very clear and didn't want to get into a situation where or have breeders get into a situation where they find that they are raising and breeding dogs in a zone that's not an EFU land, and have them come back and say, well, because it's spelled out that this is allowed in EFU lands, what that means, I can't raise a dog inside the city. Now, Harrison and I, you know, can go back and forth about that a little bit, but clearly I don't want the breeders to come back and say, oh, the county says that I'm technically not in EFU, I'm in some other zone, and now I can't raise or breed dogs in another zone. And so I, you know, wanted, it just seemed to make sense to take this out of the definition of being a farm use, and in fact just say that this is allowed use on farm lands, and that animal husbandry is a part of farm uses in general. And so that was sort of the thought process that went behind all these changes. Between Dexter Harrison, myself, and co-chair Olson.
Yeah. It's been a journey. That's all I can say.
Well, co-chairs and Rep. Holvey, let me point out that the purpose of 215.203 is to define farm use for purposes of exclusive farm use zones. And the activities that are defined as farm use are determined in terms of being the primary use of land for the purpose of profiting in money. So, for example, if someone were to be raising a poodle in their home, an AKC registered poodle, and they were to breed that poodle, the primary purpose of their home presumably would be a residence, not to make a profit from breeding the poodle. In the same way, I think we have backyard gardens, but we're not doing that for the primary purpose of raising, of making a profit in money.
You good?
Representative Woodger.
Thank you. I just wanted to have somebody explain to me what's the thinking behind how we arrived at the 10 dogs per training class and testing trials that does not exceed 60? It just feels like an arbitrary number, and I'm trying to get some sense of why 61 is bad and 59 is good and 10 dogs is okay, but 11 suddenly brings an end to civilization. I'm just trying to figure out why we pick these numbers.
My understanding, this was language that came from the proponents of the bill, and probably looking at what their general course of business is and giving us some, I would assume, you know, maximum numbers that would encompass everything they're doing. But if Patty would like to speak to that, we'd love to have you up here.
Yeah, Representative Winger, to your thoughts on that. I think Patty's going to share with you that was something that the stakeholders said all kind of come to agreement.
Before she starts, my only concern is we'll pass this bill. You and I both know, next session, we're going to find out that there's somebody out there that does this with 11 dogs. And we're going to have somebody sitting right in front of us saying, why can't I do my thing with 11 dogs when the law says only 10? This is my concern about when we draw a line like this. Yeah.
Co-chairs Kotek and Olson and committee and Representative Weingart. Last year when we first, my name is Patty Strand from Portland, Oregon. Last year when we first introduced this bill, we introduced it in a way that had unlimited numbers in it, and it caused a great deal of concern to people who were worried that we were going to turn the farmlands of Oregon into just one big event. And so what we did is we went back and we surveyed the people who do this, the people who are actually training, and the people who are holding events. And we found that the events or the testing or the training part of it is usually in the range of 8 to 10 dogs. And across the board, I was a little bit surprised at that too. I thought it might be closer to 12, 15. But in order to give the kind of individual training that the people need, they keep it less than 10 just about all the time. So we're okay there. And then we also surveyed the people who are holding these events, and 60 seemed to be the number that was very common. at least in buildings, the ones that are holding it inside of farm buildings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Might as well just stay there just for a second. I have a question about the dash one. On line 15 on page one there, and then also line 3 on page 2. I assume that's a housekeeping issue because that's related to a line around biofuel.
It is, Co-Chair Kotek. The reading of Greyhounds is currently 2BL, and when we eliminate L,
change to K.
We change the number.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Just want to make sure we weren't sticking anything unusual in there. And then we added the Section 5, if you're on page 2 of the dash, 1.
And you'll see within Section 5 that same 2BL, 2BK kind of a
correct
conforming change.
And could you just remind us what ORS 308A.056 is and why we need that additional section?
In Chapter 308A, we deal with special assessment for farm use. Generally speaking, this definition of farm use for special tax assessment follows the definition of farm use for land use planning purposes.
Thank you. So that's the spot where the farm use assessment comes in at the end, so I have the clarification. Are we missing anything in this discussion? Representative Colby, Olson, since you've been working so closely, does that cover everything?
You got it.
Colleagues, any other questions about the dash one? Representative Berger.
If I could, Harrison. So this language that says it's a permitted use means it does not come under special assessment. Or it does come under special assessment for farmers.
The language about permitted use, can you identify that language?
Well, the dog training classes may be conducted in a pre-existing farm building. Does it change the assessment of the farm if you do it?
Co-chairs, Representative Berger, no.
That's what I wanted to make sure, absolutely sure. Okay, that's what I needed on the record.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Harrison. Thank you, Patty.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. So, colleagues, we have the dash one. I would entertain a motion to amend the bill to the dash one, and then we could hopefully move this at the next
outing. That we adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 4170 dated February 20th, 2012.
Thank you. Vice Chair Holvey moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 4170. They're dated February 20th. Any discussion on the dash ones? Seeing none. Any objection to adopting the dash ones? Seeing none, so moved. So now we have the House Bill 4170 with the dash ones and we will carry over House Bill 4170 to tomorrow. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 4170. Open a work session on House Bill 4172 for the purposes of carrying it over for tomorrow. House Bill 4172. Close the work session on that bill. Open a work session on SCR 202.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SCR 202 memorializes Mark Hatfield, who was born in 1922 and passed away this August 7th of 2011 at the age of 89. Mark Hatfield is the longest-serving United States Senator in Oregon's history. During his career, he worked to diversify Oregon's economy, encouraged the growth of high-tech and medical research industries, supported the expansion of higher education, and championed the conservation of natural resources and environmental stewardship, which led to the designation of the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area, as well as the protection of several other wilderness areas, parks, and scenic rivers. At the national level, he was also known for his opposition to the Vietnam War, both during his tenure as governor of Oregon and as a senator, repeatedly speaking out and opposing defense spending. Mark Hatfield's service to the public is also distinguished, not only by its longevity and his numerous achievements, but by his reputation as a statesperson of the highest caliber. He is a graduate from Willamette University in 1943. He became a naval officer and commanded troops at Iwo Jima and Okinawa during World War II. When he completed his service with the Navy, he attended Stanford University briefly and then returned to Oregon to teach at Willamette. He was elected to the Oregon House of Representatives in 1951, also served in the Oregon State Senate from 1955 to 57 and became the youngest Secretary of State in Oregon's history after that. In 1958, he was elected to his first two terms as the governor of Oregon, making him the youngest person to do so and the first two-term Oregon governor of the 20th century. He was then elected to the United States Senate, where he served for 30 years and where he came to chair the Senate Appropriations Committee. When he retired, he served on Oregon Health and Science University's Board of Directors, supported the financial growth of the National Institute for Health, and was a guest professor at colleges throughout the state of Oregon. He is survived by his wife, Antoinette, his four children, Elizabeth Hatfield Keller of Portland, Teresa Cooney of Bethesda, Maryland, Mark Hatfield in Miami, Florida, and Visco Hatfield of Bantam, Connecticut, and by several grandchildren.
Thank you, Cheyenne. Colleagues, because this had a full public hearing on the Senate side, that's why you see this resolution coming straight to work session today. Any discussion on the resolution? Representative Burke.
Yes, I understand this is Senate concurrent resolution, and it is very gratifying to see almost all senators are on there, and I'm sure the ones that aren't on there aren't on there because they didn't get their name on there in time, and no other reason, because certainly Senator Hatfield is our respected the senator as we've always known him, which is many, many people in this world are just, you just say the senator and you know who you're talking to. Are you ready for a motion?
I am, and there will be an opportunity for House members to get on before we go to third reading on this.
I was going to ask that.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. I entertain a motion.
I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 202 to the House floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Thank you. Vice Chair Berger moves Senate Concurrent Resolution 202 to the House floor with a be adopted recommendation. Further discussion? Representative Black.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to simply note that Senator Hatfield was one of those leaders who was very good at making the kinds of detailed work that needed to get done in order to benefit Oregon in so many different ways, many of which are listed in this bill. But he also was quite willing to take a stand on a matter of conscience completely alone when he thought it was appropriate to do that. And I think that those of us who think of politics as an area of skill and professionalism and ethical behavior in pursuit of what is good for the people, in his case, the people of the United States and the people of Oregon, for us, the people of our districts and the people of the state of Oregon. I think his work and his story are greatly to be admired and emulated. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Byer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out my good colleague to my left, which is something I won't get to say very often, was wondering what happened to the O.
Middle initial.
Mark O. Hatfield.
It says Odom.
It says Odom. It just doesn't say it in memoriam, though. Could they have not gotten it right on the Senate side?
It happens.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. Thank you, Representative.
I love that amendment.
That is an O-O.
Okay. With that, any other discussion on the resolution? Seeing none. Any objections to passing this on would be adopted recommendation? Seeing none. So moved. Anyone here? I think
Gilliam.
Gilliam has been doing memorial.
We'll see if Representative Gilliam would like to carry. And Representative Greenlick is also in the House, so if we need a D, we can go there. Representative Greenlick got on it already. So.
Okay.
Thank you, colleagues. With that, we'll close the work session on SCR 202. One more thing, colleagues, introduction of committee measures. I'd like to open a work session on that. Co-Chair Olson?
Yeah. Madam Chair, move the LC 318, dated 2/17/12, be introduced as a committee bill.
Co-Chair Olson moves that LC 318, dated 17th of February, be introduced as a committee bill. Colleagues, this is a memorial for a Department of Corrections officer who was killed in Eastern Oregon, I believe, quite recently.
Yeah, so,
helped somebody on the side of the road and the individual stabbed him to death.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it was a great loss to the community. So
terrible. He's on his way to work.
We've put together, there's a resolution for him.
Madam Chair, it's not handed out in front of us, though.
No? Yeah, we don't have anything.
Is 318 here? I didn't see it in my stack, but I...
I do have a copy, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair.
Would
our apologies.
Like to read, or at least...
I don't really mind introducing the bill. It's just,
it's
like
in,
to see
it's
it
in before. Memoriam of Officer Buddy Ray Heron, and speaks about his service and his recent passing.
It's an error on the staff's part. It should have been on the shared drive, and I'm, you're, any member, of course, is welcome to take it right out of my hands and take a look at it.
Would you like to recess, as people like to look at it? I appreciate the comment, Representative. We'll try to make sure it doesn't happen. As we move forward and things will be moving rather quickly, this should probably be the last committee bill introduced at this point, but who knows? Never say never, right? So any other discussion on introducing this as a committee bill? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. So we'll likely be seeing that back. Colleagues, with that, we are done. We will have we have some carryover for tomorrow. We're here again at 3, not in this room, somewhere. 3 o'clock tomorrow. We'll see you then. With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.